here for today. Tomorrow, I've got a really powerful show ahead of you. We're going to talk about working conditions in the largest pork processing plant in the United States, Smithfield Foods in Tar Heel, North Carolina. You won't want to miss tomorrow's show. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off. Coming up, Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates for the next 5 years. Subprime mortgages have collectively doubled the number of U.S. home foreclosures and adversely affected financial institutions globally. The U.S. Supreme Court deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been held without charge for more than 6 years. In Baghdad, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is urging Iraqi politicians to take advantage of decreasing sectarian violence to work on calming Iraqi political factions. A car bomb exploded today in central Baghdad, killing at least 14 people. Another 8 people died in other attacks throughout Iraq. Another suicide bombing in Afghanistan. Today, at least 16 police recruits were killed in Kabul. 26 Afghanis were killed in bombings yesterday. In Islamabad, thousands of Pakistani lawyers are demonstrating in the streets, protesting President Pervez Musharraf's purge of the judiciary. Attorneys throughout the country are boycotting courtrooms until Musharraf restores to power hundreds of disbarred judges. For the first time in a decade, an American Secretary of State is visiting Africa. Condoleezza Rice is meeting with officials from 5 African nations to express concern about increasing violence and instability on the resource-rich continent. Unconfirmed reports say 2 people are dead. At least 5 have been shot and wounded at a shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska. The Westroads Mall is in lockdown as Nebraska State Police search for the shooter. It is unclear as to whether the shooter is still inside the mall. A devastating storm in the Pacific Northwest has moved north, leaving a path of destruction in its wake. Residents of Oregon and Washington State cleaning up. Officials are attempting to open highways and public buildings this afternoon. At least 5 people have died. FEMA says it's trying to recover more than $500 million in emergency aid mistakenly distributed in connection with Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. The Justice Department has already prosecuted nearly 800 people for fraud. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Tired of all the griping? Got to get away from the propaganda of the left and the right? Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific right here on the Quality News Network for America Back on Track with me, your correspondent, Tony Seaton. We don't wallow in the dialectic between the donkeys and the elephants. America Back on Track rises above the fray, representing the people's right, the people's need to know. America Back on Track from the Quality News Network puts the news in context, delivers scintillating interviews and commentary, all part of a conversation with America. America Back on Track is for information-hungry Americans who know how vital it is to the health of the country that the citizens know the facts. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML 1410 AM in the Monterey area and streaming live online at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
America's teenagers are having babies at the highest rate since 1991. It is an unexpected and troubling rise that social experts say has no immediate explanation. The teen birth rate in the U.S. had been dropping for the last 16 years. Today, federal statisticians say it rose 3% from 2005 to 2006. Sexually transmitted disease has also been on the rise, including syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. The price of crude oil jumped today after OPEC refused to raise production. The cartel meets again in February. Freddie Mac says the quarterly sale price of American homes fell more steeply than it has in 25 years, the hardest hit region being the Pacific Northwest. GE is recalling 92,000 microwave combo wall ovens because of fire danger. U.S.-made ovens were sold under the GE and Kenmore labels. Drug maker Bristol-Myers Squibb already beginning a layoff of 10% of its workforce. The move is part of a restructuring plan that will save $1.5 billion by 2010. The company is facing steeper competition as several of its top drug patents expire. Light sweet crude oil trading at $87.49 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow up 196 points to end at 13,445. NASDAQ up 46, S&P 500 up 22. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Okay! Tokyo! South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Six and a half minutes past the hour. Welcome, welcome, one and all. I don't know, I may be in a bit of a funk. It's the first day of obvious winter here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. Yesterday, you know, welcome to the ever-changing climate. Yesterday it was sort of mushy but kind of gray and moreover, you know, tolerably warm outside. And today I got up and there's, you know, 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. Great. Which is now all gone and running away as fast as it possibly can. Oh, just, you know, weird, weird, weird little world that we live in. But of course, you know, it's not just any night. It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. And for that reason, you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting. Come on down to the altar and get your magic cookie. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through your body. Hallelujah! Glory! And we've got, you know, for those of you who are the praying types, keep the families of the 9 dead folks in Omaha in your prayers. Keep the wounded and the maimed in your prayers. Keep the shattered families that forevermore will see an empty place in their homes and in their hearts in your prayers. Keep the godforsaken gun manufacturers in your prayers. Keep the NRA in your prayers. And pray that God has a real, live, honest-to-goodness, burning hell where, you know, the Charlton Hestons and the Ted Nugents and the Wayne LaPierres can go and spend eternity. For yea, verily, the butcher's bill has come due again today. And the demonic deal with the devil that we have made in the name of advancing the gun industry is upon us once again. Oh, some days it's 30, some days it's 12, some days it's 9. But seldom will you see any instance of any of the victims having deserved the punishment meted out by the gun industry on America. Seldom, seldom, seldom will you see anything like that. Of course, once again, it was a red state, Colorado, Virginia, this time Nebraska, where to be a politician and not advocate that everybody have all the guns they could possibly want, regardless of whether there are any hungry or homeless in those individual states, is a sine qua non to a successful political career. Once again, it happens in a state. Oh, Lord. Where guns are raised to the level of almost religious fervor. And I ask you the question, and I will answer it myself. If someone told you this morning that giving up your firearms would save 9 lives that very day, would you? I'll answer it. If I was told that by some supernatural force, you know, I mean, I guess they're not going to, supernatural forces aren't going to talk to me. They're forever talking to people like former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. He even gets cell phone calls from God Almighty. Or so he would show to the Republican faithful. We played that audio last night on the horn section. They talk to these right-wing freaks. They don't talk to me. Maybe because I ain't listening. Or maybe because when the right-wing freaks think that the Almighty is talking to them, it's merely their own insanity welling up from deep inside. But if by some supernatural event I was told this morning that getting rid of the firearms that I have would save 9 precious innocent lives in Omaha, Nebraska this afternoon, would I have gone and taken my firearms to wherever was necessary to save those lives? You're damned right I would. And so too, for the most part, would most of you. But the NRA wouldn't. The NRA would say, guns don't kill people, people kill people. That's a bad man. He's going to kill them 9 people, but me giving up my guns, that ain't going to make no difference. They just going to have to die. And so, indeed, did they die. I've been kind of tied up this afternoon doing show prep, running, you know, producing other shows, doing this, that, and the other thing, but one of my dearest friends in the world and his wife and 2 beautiful, beautiful little children live in Omaha. And all I can do is hope for all I'm worth that they're safe. Omaha's a big place. The statistical odds of it having affected my friend or his family or someone that they know or care about or love is minuscule. We have listeners that I've heard from Omaha. All I can do is hope that this evil born of a desire to subvert the Constitution of the United States to the profit-driven hunger of the gun industry and the fetish-driven fascination of the minority of gun fanatics in this country. All I can do is hope that it did not touch anyone that I know. All I can do is hope that it did not touch anyone that I love. All I can do is hope that it did not touch anyone within the range of my voice. But of course, as long as the National Rifle Association dictates gun policy in this country, you can hope in one hand and you can do something else in the other, and you know damn good and well which hand is going to fill up first. Oh, there's always such breathless shock on CNN and Fox News and so forth. You know, gunman kills nine and senseless run, blah, 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 blah. And it makes me want to put my foot through the computer monitor every time I see it. Quit acting like this is surprising. It's not. It is part of the bargain we have made. And somewhere tonight, with this horrible, hellish, nightmare incident already past us, somewhere tonight, a family sits together. Maybe they've gone to prayer meeting tonight together. But I tell you, for a fact, I'm not speculating, I'm not guessing. For a fact, somewhere tonight, there is a family that inside of a year, in less than a year, will be shattered and destroyed beyond all ability to remedy it, because America loves its guns more than it loves its own people. Because the so-called right to keep and arm bears is more important than the pursuit of happiness. It may be me. Do you ever think in those terms? Do you ever think like that? It may be you. It may be someone you're chatting with in the chat room. It may be one of your coworkers. It may be somebody you get an email from. It may be somebody that you spent your last contact with in some level of harshness or unkindness. And within a year, or within a half year, within 3 months, within a month, perhaps within a week or a day, they will be snatched away, not by the hand of Almighty God, not by some pointy-tailed, cloven-hoofed, trident-wielding, horn-headed devil, but by just another garden-variety American gun fetishist. That's all. Maybe he'll be wearing camo like the Omaha shooter was today. Maybe he'll be wearing, I don't know, a black overcoat like the kids at Columbine. I do not know, for I am no prophet, I am no seer, I am no necromancer. All I am is one human being who can take an easy look at the state of our culture and know, as sure as God made little green apples, that the butcher's bill comes due, and it comes due with alarming frequency in this country. It comes due more often than it comes in civilized European countries. It comes due more than it does so in civilized Asian countries. That butcher's bill, born of our fetishistic, almost religious fervor for firearms, comes due with far more frequency here than just about anywhere on earth, save for the hell on earth that is Iraq. And we opened hell's gate there. Oh dear, we're off to a tough one tonight, aren't we? Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said that there's a way to talk about this and not have it hurt. Oh yeah, sure, go ahead, turn on the idiot box. The bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She can tell you about the car crash with a gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. Give us dirty laundry. Over to you, Bill. Do you have more details on the shooting in Omaha?
That's right, Stacy, I do. It was a mother of three. She was hiding in women's ready-to-wear when the shooter shot through the rack.
Gosh, Bill, thanks for that. We're keeping you up to date. I keep asking, and I keep not getting any answers. What is to become of us? What has become of us? If you could set the Wayback Machine for the Constitutional Convention and you could explain to the president of that Constitutional Convention and the delegates therein assembled how thoroughly their bad grammar would be misconstrued in 21st century America, do you think the Second Amendment would even make it into the Bill of Rights? I don't, because you know what? The delegates to the Constitutional Convention, the framers of the Constitution, the Washingtons, the Jeffersons, the Madisons, the Hamiltons and Adamses, were far from being simpletons, and they were far from the sadistic monsters it would require to craft a piece of law knowing what its outcome would be, considering the outcome that we have with the Second Amendment in 21st century America. What's the answer? How do we stop this? Because, you know, if I'm sure I'll probably get an email from one of our gun toters telling me that I've gone off the deep end again, or maybe suggesting that the shooter was on some drug that made him shoot, that it was the drug's fault and, you know, not the guns. But at the end of the day, you can throw Prozac pills at somebody all day long. They don't hurt. They bounce. Bullets don't. So here we are again. And you know what? Maybe the next one, I'll just replay this little blab, because we're going to be here again and again and again. And it's going to be a 3-year-old, and it's going to be a 90-year-old, and it's going to be a 50-year-old on his way home from a job he or she loathes but goes to every God blessed day because it's what they have to do to keep life going. And life will end. Again and again and again and again, as the butcher presents his bill to the American people for the fealty that we show to the gun industry. And of course, we won't call this shooter what he is. We will not call him a terrorist, unless, of course, his skin is brown and his name is perhaps something like Abdul or Mahmoud. Or better yet, a nice Iranian name like Manusher. Ooh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? You know that in the halls of the NRA, every time one of these things happen, they go, oh, Jesus, please don't let his name be Chester. Please let his name be Muhammad. Please, please. Nah, it's Chester. Because the biggest threat we face in this country is not from some Wahhabist Saudi 12,000 miles away. The biggest threat we face in this country is from Chester. And it is from, you know all the names. It's from Timothy. With last names like McVeigh, not some bizarre, difficult to pronounce Middle Eastern name. And every time one of these things happen, they go into crisis management mode within the halls of the National Rifle Association, the National Republican Rifle Association. And there will be a press release out before you know what happened here. You guys are patient with me because, you know, look, this is internet-based. And so you know that we multitask and we multimedia eyes. And so we go to websites. Well, howdy do. The NRA website. There's the Institute for Legislative Action. There's the 2007 NRA Annual Meetings and Exhibits. What They Didn't Tell You Today by Wayne LaPierre. Click on the title to read. Click on the icon to view or listen. December 5th, a few questions for Obama. Howdy do. What They Didn't Tell You Today. How very ironic, Mr. LaPierre. What you didn't tell us today is that you have succeeded in having another 9 human beings needlessly slaughtered so that you can keep raking in $500,000 or maybe $1 million a year, happily paid to you by the gun lobby, by the gun manufacturers. Hell, you're the gun lobby. Let's see here. The headlines. ABC, advancing biased concoctions. UK hunting ban lies in tatters, unenforceable. Burglar shot in Clinton Township. After attack at florist shop, victim becomes the victor by getting a permit to carry. Man shoots dog in self-defense. Colorado liquor store owner won't be charged in shooting. Hillary slams Obama present votes on gun laws. Wow, not a blessed word. Not a blessed word about the assault on family values in Omaha, Nebraska today. NRA top news stories. Let's have a look. U.S. Supreme Court to hear first Second Amendment case since 1939. Presidential candidates ask for NRA support. NRA members' wild game cookbook available for holiday purchase. Wonder if that includes long pig. Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife proposes restrictions on recreational shooting. Pro-gun groups misrepresenting the facts in the Badger State. Dear me, dear me, dear me. Nothing in there about the slaughter that they contributed to today. Not a blessed word. Nor, of course, will there be any such word.
Oh, no. No, no. Of course not. Because with the exception of me, perhaps a few others on this network, maybe another tiny handful outside this network, I remind you that we will not deal with this issue in honest fashion. Because, well, it's not permitted by the National Republican Rifle Association. If poor little Katie Couric dealt with it honestly and said that we will deal with this issue again and again and again because of the nature of the butcher's bill and the nature of the deal with the devil that we've made, the NRA would be on her like a dog on a bone wagon. And the same for, what, Charlie Gibson at ABC, and the same for Brian Williams at NBC. Oh, yeah. And all that the Fox News and NRA types can do is hunker down and pray that the shooter's name is Muhammad and not Chester. But you know, and I know, we know, it's Chester. So we'll take a break and come back and try to retool and get our heads in a different place. Move on to prayer meeting. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to listener-supported, independent, liberal conversation radio. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. The whole day down. So clean and it types to a waging world. A mother feels so shocked. Father's world is rocked and their thoughts turn to their own little girl. Sweet 16 ain't that peachy keen. Now it ain't so neat to admit defeat. They can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reasons do you need?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. The whole day down, down, down. Shoot it on down. Wants to play with the toy for a while. And school's out early, and soon we'll be learning. And the lesson today is how to die. And then the bullhorn crackles, and the captain tackles with the problem of a housewife. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to die? Die, oh, oh, oh. And the silicon chip inside a head gets switched to overload. Oh, and nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. And daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure?
Tell me why.
I don't like money.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. Now, he's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here, on the Horn, Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Okay, this is the picture. Johnny, be quiet.
Welcome back. 21 minutes before the hour. And, I'm going to try to move on to the rest of prayer meeting if I possibly can. You know, I don't mean to be such a marshmallow, but if you've been tuning in for this long, you know how my mind works. You know where my mind is. You know where my head is. You know where my heart is. You know that I'm sitting here thinking about people that I don't even know. And I know that you're doing the same thing. And because you have great soul and good spirit, you can feel the grief in your own heart that was brought to Omaha, Nebraska today. And you know that it's the 15 minutes of fame within the 24-hour news cycle. And it will all be forgotten about, at best, inside of a week. Unless, of course, there turns out to be an ethnic angle for the shooter. Because we talked about Cho at Virginia Tech for a little over a week. That kept coming up. On the other hand, there was a slaughter in Wisconsin that involved a nice young white boy. And that thing died. I mean, it sunk like a rock out of the purview of the so-called professional news media. Well, these things happen. Sometimes 20-year-old boys get cop cars and badges, and they just go a little bit, well, you know, funny in the head. You know, funny, like crazy. And they just kill 9 or 10 or 12 people. You know, these things happen. Thank God we have the Second Amendment, you know, because someday we may need to take our bolt-action, single-shot, breech-loading, or whatever rifle and oppose the government with it, even though the government's got jets and bombs and mortars and machine guns that shoot, you know, 300 rounds per minute, that can pump 300 rounds into us while we're still trying to work the action on the rifle that we're going to use to hold back the abusive government with. Yeah, okay, that's great. You're insane. Moving on. How the hell do you move on from that? Jiminy. But we will try. What do you say we move on to Mike Huckstraby? Because Mike Huckstraby, like I said, we played the sound last night in the horn section when Peter Godbold and I were talking of Mike Huckstraby making a complete mockery of an invocation, pretending to take a phone call on his cell from God, in which God told him that he wanted an autograph from Arnold Schwarzenegger for Samson. Oh yeah, I'm not kidding. I don't have the time, and you don't have the patience for me to go running around looking for that. But go three or four pages back at Crooks and Liars, and you'll find it for yourself. But Mike Huckstraby, now, you all know about the National Intelligence Estimate, right? The one that said that Iran hasn't been working on a nuclear bomb since 2003, you know, 4 long years ago. Well, Mike Huckstraby says he had no idea what was in that report. You know, just like George Bush had no idea what was in that report. You know, why do you need that? He said, I don't know where, this is a quote, I don't know where the intelligence is coming from that says they've suspended the program or how credible that is versus the view they actually are expanding it. And I've heard the last 2 weeks supposed reports that they're accelerating it and it could be having and they could be having a reactor in a much shorter period of time than originally thought, he added. He attributed recent attacks on his Arkansas record on taxes, immigration, and the criminal justice system to desperation on the part of rival campaigns. Yeah, well, I got that story for you, too. Remember Willie Horton? Well, Mike Huckstraby has his own little Willie Horton, and it remains to be seen whether or not he will be called to account for it. Guess what? There's a Willie Horton out there for Mitt Romney, too. Will the media get interested in it? I don't know. But you see, that's how it is in the faith-based foreign policy community. Even when there's rock-solid information that says, you know, look, Iran's not trying to build a nuclear bomb, and you know, there's not really any reason for us to go forward. Well, you get articles in Haaretz saying that the U.S. and Israel need to make joint plans to go ahead and bomb the snot out of little flower sellers on the corner of a street in Tehran anyway. You know, what the hell, why not? You know, they're only Iranians. You get the reports from the right wing saying, well, you know, the U.S. may have been duped on that intelligence. And then you get Mike Huckstraby saying, I don't know where it came from, and I don't know why it's any more valid than the information that I got from the Magic 8 Ball that says Iran is the devil and we have to kill them now. I don't know why that's any more valid than the other. Oh, we could probably spend a couple of hours on Mike Huckstraby this evening, and we may very well, as it turns out, but for now, we will go to the phones. Hi, who have I got?
Robert in Japan.
Well, Robert, how are you, my friend?
Doing a little cold. I mean, a little cold here, but I'm doing okay. How about you?
You know, we got our first snowfall today, and I'm kind of about it, but...
Yeah, I can, yeah.
I can remember being a child and being absolutely charmed and mesmerized by snow. Now I look outside, and somebody may as well have covered my yard in caca, the way I feel about it.
Yeah. What about one day of snow? We used to, from what one of my older friends said, there would be snow here for about 3 or 4 months. But with global warming, we get about one day, and then it's gone by the afternoon, so...
Well, it's mostly gone tonight. It melted away during the day, and so tonight it will turn into black ice on the roads and make everything nice and treacherous.
Mm. Well, with the morning news, I said to myself, you know, with the Omaha situation, I said, how many more times will I have to look at this, you know, in my life?
Let's...
1,000, 2,000?
You know, 2 or 3 times a year for whatever you, you know, whatever portion of the 70 you've got left.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do the math. It's real easy. And, you know, it'll be 2 people or it'll be 20 people or 50 people or it'll be 9 people. You can extrapolate the potential range of misery as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, our guns are more important than our children. And that's, you know, look, that's just how it is. That's a free market decision.
Well, let me ask your opinion about how do you think the Supreme Court will rule on this, you know, this amendment up about the guns to have people have, you know, guns?
Knowing that we're dealing with Alito and Roberts and Scalia and Thomas, I know how those four freaks will vote.
Mm.
And that means that all they have to do is strong arm Anthony Kennedy. And they've got their majority, and they can say that, you know, gosh, everybody needs a gun in Washington, D.C. That's why there's, you know, there'd be less crime if we just arm everybody. Yeah, maybe we can have, you know, open hunting season on the criminal element. No, as Mark Levine said earlier, I share his feeling. You hope that they'll do the right thing, but knowing these freaks, you get a pretty good idea that they won't, because they couldn't do the right thing if Jesus Christ stood in front of them and told them what the right thing was. They'd probably have him waterboarded for it when you get right down to it.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, the gun shooting stuff is something that we just don't have here in Japan. I mean, unfortunately, the only people with guns are the Yakuza, but the Yakuza keep such a low profile that...
Well, and they attend to the Yakuza's business, too, don't they? I mean...
Well, I mean, the Yakuza, you know, they operate out in the open. They have their own recruiting drives, their own offices, and so, you know, believe it or not, but that's
Is it true about chopping off the little finger to get to be a made man thing? I mean, can you look around and look?
To a degree, yeah. In fact, the Philippines actually would not allow Japanese that were missing that digit or any digit to enter the country. So they would actually deport them just as they would get into the airport. So... But no, I mean, they've been pushed out of Honshu and over into Kyushu now, and because they've been actually cutting, you know, hunting these people down. And there's a couple cities here in Kyushu that they drive around in. But it's a lot easier to go after other people. Like just recently, they instituted a fingerprinting process for all foreigners coming into Japan. So if you were to come to Japan, you would have your photograph taken, and you have to have your fingerprint taken. And this is also applies to permanent residents, so even I would have to do that. So, and this is a lot easier than actually doing the hard work of actually going after the Yakuza and or, you know, criminals and doing the hard work, because that, you know, that means, you know, detective work, it means hours, but you know, going after easy targets like foreigners and saying, oh, the foreigners are the threat, that's easy to do.
Gosh, you know? Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, I mean, we've had that conversation several times, right? So, yeah, it makes me sick. In fact, I kept thinking maybe I should come back when I come back from my trip next year with Band-Aids on my finger and see what they say, you know.
Troublemaker.
Yeah. You know, it is important, though, Bob, to come up with little acts of civil disobedience. Otherwise, you know, you're making it too easy for these idiots. And I mean, Australia, I heard, correct me if I'm wrong, where, you know, maybe, you know, Peter Fox can tell me, they take an eye scan of you when you enter the country, a retro scan.
A retinal pic? Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's supposedly more accurate than a fingerprint.
Yeah, well, that's one of the comments that some of the people in the newspapers here are saying, that fingerprints really aren't the best way to go about this because people use the keyboard so much, so the fingerprints aren't that clear. In fact, one journalist actually went to Saipan, and he came back in line to get his fingerprints, and he started eating chocolates just to piss him off. And then he started taking the fingerprints, and they, you know, messed it all up. And then they just said, okay, just go on through. We don't care. Just go on through. But, yeah, chocolates, Band-Aids, you know, bloody ketchup fingers, I don't know. But,
you know, you could be standing in line, and you know the old thing where, you tuck the finger away and you can just tuck your index finger away and sort of scratch your face with your index knuckle?
Well, I was thinking about putting my
and let them have their hissy and go surprise, and then just flip the rest of the index finger out there and
yeah. Hand of the pants and oh good.
Yeah, that may be too visual. It may not have come through on the radio.
Right.
But God knows we tried.
No, little acts of civil disobedience I think are important. I mean, I was even thinking about even filing off my fingerprints, you know, with a nail file and having them do a hissy, but I thought, geez, what would happen if they actually did deport me, you know?
Yeah, that would kind of stink. You know, here in America, you know, for American citizens, you know, whose papers are in order, I really wish this show had greater reach because we could start a movement where people showed up for their domestic flights, you know, 90-year-old grannies and 5-year-olds and the flabby 40-something men like me, you know, guys in a Speedo and women in a two-piece thong bathing suit. What could they do? I'm just making it easy for national security. That's all I'm doing. It's obvious I don't have anything strapped on or hidden. I mean, you know, how obvious can we get? That's what you guys want, isn't it? And flip-flops. You have to wear flip-flops. No shoes where any portion of your foot could be made invisible.
Well, when I went to the Philippines, they actually had a shoe check. So they had someone actually go through with a metal stick to check your shoe. And supposedly when Arroyo went up for her election thereafter, she did away with that because the business travelers were pissed off about that and inconvenienced them. So that security measure went out the window. So only in Asia, huh?
Yeah. Well, only in a culture that is absolutely obsessed with it. You would think the United States would be that way, but it keeps going in the opposite direction. We don't care who we inconvenience getting on the airplane because you know, we've strip searched 80-year-old grandmas because the metal detector went off because of the little piece of metal in their, you know, in their underwear.
I was shocked about that caller the last week that, you know, it was a Susan.
Kathy. Kathy.
Kathy, right. Did she ever sue JetBlue about that?
I don't know. I haven't heard back on that. I'm hoping that they do.
I hope so. I mean, that made my head just pop off, to be honest with you. But there's a lot of other issues that, you know, they keep coming up with all these other issues, and I never get any follow-up on what happened. Like, what happened with the contempt of Congress with Myers?
Well, you know, that's still sort of floating around, but it's off the radar right now because we're busy talking about what George Bush knew and when he knew it and why he sat there and lied to the American people. You know, lied to us on American TV. Said
Right.
You know, when he knew full well that Iran had no nuclear weapon program, sitting there, well, if you want to stop World War III and all of that load of malarkey, oh, that's what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
We should be talking about holding Josh Bolton and Harriet Myers in contempt. We should be talking about where we're going to jail them. But,
exactly.
No.
No. I mean, it gets to be...
Well,
all these other incidents.
Robert, it amazes me because we've got a 24-hour, we've got 24-hour news channels, and yet it's devolved to the point where they can only cover one story.
Well, one story, and the follow-up is just too painful for them to do. It's just too much work, and it's not as sensational. And so it's just an endless series of, oh, look at this, and with no follow-up. I mean, it gets to be quite annoying.
I don't know. I'd love to see CNN spin off a new news channel called Real News.
Yeah.
You know, boring stuff that takes 10 minutes to explain.
Right. Well, that was the problem with the Japanese news. It is exactly the opposite. It's very analytical, sometimes too much so. I mean, they'll spend 20 minutes. One time they spent 40 minutes discussing organ death. I mean, actually death, because they were talking about transplants, something that they just started maybe 10 years ago. And they couldn't do a transplant until someone died, and so they spent 40 minutes on what actually, you know, constitutes death.
But I tell you what, I'd trade that for Lindsay Lohan in a minute.
Oh, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I look at the news, and I get so sick. It's so self-glorified. I mean, Anderson Cooper going on to late-night TV, and then this actually requires another commentator to say, oh, Anderson Cooper went on to late-night TV, and then they show the clip. And I go, my God, what the hell is this crap?
I know.
Yeah.
But you know, no, some news stories take 10 minutes, some take 40. But I don't care how much it takes; it's going to get 90 seconds, and that's it.
Yeah, at most. So.
And the American people are the losers because, you know, the more 90-second packages you have, the more likely it is that you can weasel in more advertisements. And that's what it's all about. It's not about journalism. It's not about informing the public. It is about delivering a segment of the population as a product, as an audience, to an advertiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more Americans understood that, Robert, they would turn the damn box off.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just wanted to touch base with you.
Well, have yourself a great morning.
I sure will.
I look forward to hearing from you again.
Okay. You take care now.
I'm going to try. You too. Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Our good friend Robert calling from Japan. We've got news coming up, and I'm going to try to hit the break. I should update you. I was asked specifically via email to do this. I raised the fundraising threshold to $3,500 this month because we've fallen so desperately behind that if we don't do that, we're going to be in terrible trouble. And I should let you know that since the first of the month, we've had about $300 come in. And to those of you who have given, I thank you very, very much. And for those, if you can't, don't worry about it. But if you can and you haven't, please, please help us. For the love of God, please help us stay on the air. And that's really all I can say. We'll try to get the graph back up on the network website as soon as we possibly can. You are listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. And we will be back after the news. I'm Bob.
Forwards, using all my breath, making love to you was never second best. I saw the world crashing all around your face, never really knowing it was always mesh and lace. I'll stop the world and melt with you. See the difference, and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing you and I won't do. I'll stop the world and melt with you. Dream of better lives, the kind which never hate. Wrapped in a state of imaginary grace. Made a pilgrimage to save this human race. And I'm comprehending the race at long gone by. I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference and it's getting better all the time. There's nothing new and I won't.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates over the next 5 years. Subprime mortgages have collectively doubled the number of U.S. home foreclosures and adversely affected financial institutions globally. Mr. Bush is also calling on Iran to, quote, come clean, unquote, regarding its nuclear activities or else face diplomatic isolation, just days after a new U.S. intelligence report indicated that Iran halted its nuclear weapons program back in 2003. Mr. Bush is demanding that Tehran give details of its previous weapons program, which the White House says Iranian leaders have yet to acknowledge. In response, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is declaring victory over the U.S. concerning the new intelligence. A new U.N. nuclear watchdog says Iran is, quote, somewhat vindicated, unquote, by the U.S. report. The Supreme Court is deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been held without charge for more than 6 years. Defense attorneys say they've been unconstitutionally denied access to the court system. In Baghdad, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is urging Iraqi politicians to take advantage of decreasing sectarian violence to work on calming Iraqi political factions. Meantime, a car bomb exploded in central Baghdad, killing at least 14 people. Another 8 died in other attacks throughout the country today. Thousands of Pakistani lawyers are demonstrating in the streets of Islamabad protesting President Pervez Musharraf's purge of the judiciary. Attorneys throughout the country are boycotting courtrooms until Musharraf restores to power hundreds of disbarred judges. At least 9 people have been shot and killed, including the gunman, at a crowded shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska. 5 others are wounded. The Westroads Mall is currently in lockdown as Nebraska State Police secure the scene and conduct an investigation. As it heads north, a devastating storm in the Pacific Northwest, leaving a path of destruction in its wake, at least 5 people have died. Meantime, residents are cleaning up, state workers trying to open highways and public buildings. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Back after this.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Attorneys general in 9 states are filing lawsuits against tobacco giant R.J. Reynolds. The suits claim Camel cigarette ads in last month's issue of Rolling Stone magazine breach a 9-year-old promise not to use cartoons to sell tobacco. America's teens are having babies at the highest rate since 1991. It is an unexpected and troubling rise that social experts say has no immediate explanation. The teen birth rate in the U.S. had been dropping for the last 16 years. Federal statisticians say it rose 3% last year. Sexually transmitted disease has also been on the rise in teens. The price of crude oil jumped today after OPEC refused to raise production. Cartel meets again in February. Freddie Mac says the quarterly sale price of American homes fell more steeply than it has in the past 25 years. Home Depot is closing 3 customer call centers and laying off about 950 workers. Affected are centers in Chicago, Dallas, and Tampa, Florida. And drug maker Bristol-Myers Squibb already beginning to lay off 10% of its workforce, the move part of a restructuring plan that will save $1.5 billion by 2010. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 196 points to end at 13,445, NASDAQ up 46 points, the S&P 500 up 22. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Coffee break's over. Back on your heads. 7 minutes past the hour, and we will continue, I hope, with our discussion of pastor and presidential hopeful Brother Mike Hooks to be, as we continue this prayer meeting edition of Head On later in the evening, but I, you know, despise keeping people on hold. Let's talk to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Oh, Bob, you don't like Brother Hooks to be, or whatever his name is, or Brother Huxtable?
I don't much cotton to him, Jim.
I wonder why.
Well, you know, just to see that video of him making a mockery of prayer is you know, I mean, and him a minister, mind you, is enough to sort of raise dinner in your gorge, if you know what I mean.
I think he had some kind of comment to make about had he beaten the Clintons once in Arkansas, he was going to do it again or something like.
Yeah, he can be president because he knows how to beat a Clinton.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to do one of those Elvis Gantry routines. I just don't know what to say about it.
Well, the thing that's kind of scary about him, Jim, is he comes across with this, aw shucks, good old boy, stuff that you know. I mean, but you know, you just know listening to him, or at least I do, and you do, that you couldn't trust the guy, with a nickel.
Well, I mean, you might be able to trust him not to steal a red-hot stove lid with his bare hands, but he still has this ability to project, for lack of a better term, what's known as the common touch that appeals to a lot of voters, you know?
Yeah, and I guess those voters, Jim, were dropped on their heads at birth or something, because if...
No, they weren't dropped on their heads at birth. That's just the way these people feel.
They want to be conned. Is what it boils down to.
Well, I don't know if they want to be conned, but I just think that's just their innate feelings, and that's just the way they feel, and their feelings make them feel comfortable in their world, and, you know, what can I say? I mean, there's not a whole lot I can do to change their attitudes or anyone else, because people basically, in my opinion, regardless of the fact, they believe what they want to believe, as they will do what they want to do unless somebody stops them. Now, maybe that's wrong. Maybe it's pessimistic. But I just think, you know, regardless of facts, regardless of whatever you can present, if a person is of a certain mindset, he's going to continue to believe what he believes, and you're not going to have any appreciable impact on his learning behavior whatsoever.
So that means we have to energize the opposition. We're not going to change anybody's minds who are dedicated to this guy's candidacy.
Is that what you're saying? I mean, it's...
I don't know what I just believe that people are of that nature. They are disposed. They believe what they want to believe, and if they want to believe this guy, regardless of his flaws, regardless of his faults, and if there's something about him that appeals to them, they're going to basically buy off what he has to say. I mean, history has proven that to us many, many, many times.
Well, sure.
I mean, that's a given fact. That's axiomatic, in my opinion. And, you know, I don't know that much about the man. I know that Nature Girl Ric Flair, Nature Boy Ric Flair endorsed him at the Carolina Clemson game, which must have been a sight to have Ric Flair endorse you.
You would think, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like I
you got to wonder if he came on with the leopard skin.
Well, you know,
skin tight pants, and you know,
he actually cursed me out at the Township Auditorium because I'd gone down there all messed up with a friend of mine, and I'd never been to a wrestling match in my life, and he came out in that dyed hair and that boa and all that crap, and I started calling him Nature Girl, and I told him his roots were showing, and he said, "You come up here, I'm gonna beat your GD ass."
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the circumstance, Jim. That's just too good.
I mean, he did. I just
well, you know, he looks. Even when he's out there hustling Slim Jim meat snacks, he looks like a reject from what the Peg Bundy fan club. And to have Mike Huckstery out there associating with this goomer. Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing, but you see, these people, I call them the NASCAR circuit people, maybe, and maybe I'm being unkind when I say that. I don't mean to be unkind, but of that disposition, the ones who love to get in there and see people like Ric Flair and The Undertaker and these WWF and the McMahons, they're the kinds who love to see people like Mike Huckstery or whatever his name is. That's the mindset I'm talking about. And if you say anything bad about those people, they get all bent out of shape and get a case of the fantods, and there's no change in their minds. It's just the way they are. I mean, I'm from South Carolina. I'm not a typical South Carolinian. And, you know, but I understand the mindset of the people in that part of our country, okay? And I understand how that can happen. Because I grew up with it.
Well, he's got two great celebrity endorsements right now, and that is Rick, you know, Flair.
Ric Flair, great Nature Girl.
And Chuck Norris.
Well, I mean, you know, now he's got
it. I guess he's got his bases covered.
Well, I mean, he's got two kick-ass guys. I mean, one is probably legit. I mean, I would hate to have to go a few rounds with Chuck Norris because I believe he could probably see you halfway around the moon. Now, with Nature Girl, I don't know. I think he's definitely past his power. I mean, you know, let's face it. Anyway,
as we discussed on the program last night with the folks from Americans United for Church and State, Rob Boston, he has received the improper endorsement of Jerry Falwell Jr.
Well, yeah, I heard that too.
Conveyed the from the grave endorsement of his dead daddy.
Well, and you know, like it or not, that encompasses a considerable portion of the voting electorate of a certain portion of this country. And these people just are not going to change. They just don't want to change.
What I find interesting, Jim, is that he and Rudy Giuliani have apparently teamed up to, back to the wrestling terminology, to tag team on Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turns out that robocalls that were made in Iowa in Huckstery's favor actually came from a major donor of Giuliani's.
Well, it's amazing how they play one off against the other and how basically they have gambits and things of that nature and what they use to, I guess, make things appear one way when they're really attempting to do something else.
Are we viewing the sort of larval stage, if you will, of a potential Giuliani-Huckabee ticket?
Well, they could be possibly, but I think what you're going to have is a combination of they're going to make some kind of deal with Mr. Huckabee to basically throw his support behind somebody else they want who's a little more acceptable to the entire American electorate.
But see, the way this works, though, Jim, is Giuliani plays fairly well, I guess, to the Republicans who aren't knuckle-walking mouth-breathers, and Huckabee plays very well to the knuckle-walking mouth-breather base, so they think that somehow they'll offset Giuliani's...
liberalism.
So-called. With Huckabee's aw shucks, faux... hucksterism.
Well,
I mean, it's a match made in a dumpster, without a doubt. And and I've got a feeling it would play really, really well to knuckle walking Republican America.
Well, like it or not, like I said before, who knows? It's too early to tell at this point. But I mean, in spite of the fact that I would not vote for either Mr. Giuliani or Mr. Huckabee, when I think of people like Fred Thompson and others that they could put up there.
Romney.
Romney. I really don't know him that well. But I guess I've just been blissfully ignorant as far as 2008 is concerned. I've had other things to deal with, but... and not speaking with any great authority, but the one that frightens me the most is Fred Thompson, really.
I understand really, that, but I think his prostate cancer will take him down, frankly, and I'm not trying to be a jerk.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, here's another grade B actor who is coming in the wings like Ronald Reagan did in 1980. And nobody paid a whole lot of attention to Ronald Reagan either, did they?
Yeah, but Ronald Reagan had a history. I mean, didn't he actually run against Nixon in 72 for the Republican nomination?
I think that was 76.
No, yeah, it was 76, and he ran against Ford. That's right.
He ran against Ford.
So, you know, there was a little bit of a history there.
Yeah, but Thompson has been in the Senate and stuff like that. And basically, you basically have governors being presidents and not Senate more than you have senators being presidents, I think.
Well, right? the Senate is not a good place to incubate a president, quite frankly.
But a governorship is.
Yeah, and the Senate was designed, at least the way I read it, Jim, the Senate was designed as an end in itself. That it was.
Well, yeah, but I mean, not necessarily.
I mean, there was certainly no limit on a senator running for the presidency, but the Senate was supposed to be, you know, it's the height of public accomplishment.
Well, not in certain people's eyes.
Well, the way it was, I understand, but I'm talking about the way it was originally envisioned. It was, you know, senators weren't popularly elected. They were appointed by the power structure within the several states. So that meant that you enjoyed the esteem of the most powerful men in your given state.
But they changed that with an amendment that said they would have to be directly elected by the people, and there would have to be two from each state.
Right.
So, I mean, they felt that was just too, I guess, plutocratic or autocratic for one body to elect another.
But that change didn't come along for a while.
No, I think, what was it, before the Civil War?
Yeah, it was pre-Civil War, and it was well after the passage of the generation that framed the Constitution.
Exactly. However, I don't know who's going to do what. It's a little too early to tell, but it is interesting to see to what lengths people will go. But I wanted to talk to you about the reportage and the news and stuff like that. Now, I know you don't like a lot of the news media and things like that, but...
It's not that I don't like them, Jim. It's that they're so disappointing.
Well, you know, I see a lot of good things come out of CNN, MSNBC, CBS, a lot of good things. Now, the one that I can't tolerate
is Fox.
Fox. I mean, I will simply, I mean, I have all my television set to skip channel 38. I mean, I will not even, I don't even, it is just so ridiculous, some of the stuff they say. But, I mean, I saw an excellent program on CNN the other night about Vladimir Putin and Russia. And it's something, that's the part of the world that I probably keep up with more than I do my own part of the world. And they pointed out some very interesting things about how powerful this man is and how much conditions under his tutelage and leadership have improved since they first began to experiment with their own type of democracy, and how economically better off they are, and just how they are just making tremendous strides. And it was a very well documented, well formatted program, and I gained a lot out of it. And another program that is really fantastic is CBS Sunday Morning with
I never missed it when Charles Kuralt hosted that.
I'm afraid Charles Kuralt's gone, but
yeah, true.
You have another gentleman there. I can't remember his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. Excuse me, but. It's always, they always have some very wonderful, it's sort of like a news magazine.
And I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, CBS Sunday Morning, and, you know, they have, and of course on PBS you've got Jim Lehrer, and I think we have a lot of good reportage in this country, and a lot of good people are there. And, you know, of course, it is controlled by money. It is controlled by corporations. And that's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. But that's just the way things are in America. And, you know, it's just my own personal opinion. By the way, I did have one thing that you're talking with your friend from Japan. Up until 1993, and I found this factoid, which you might find interesting. Up until 1993, the Japanese, if they can put it in the vending machine, they will put it in there, okay?
Sure.
And up until 93, they used to sell girls' underwear in vending machines.
No, really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you can get a hot bowl of noodles and stuff like that.
Well, up until 1993, you could get foundation garments that were worn by younger, which you might see in the younger miss section of the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
I may regret asking this, but what happened in 93 to make them change that?
Well, I think they realized that these were being purchased for, they were drawing the attention of people who had a certain fetish.
Yeah, I was going to say the fetish crowd, sure.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that's just something I thought I would throw in, and I just was just amazed couldn't believe that you could actually go and buy something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between Victoria's Secret and Horn and Hardart's.
Well, I don't know what they did with them or whatever, but I mean, you know, I mean, that sort of thing has never appealed to me, but I mean, hey, you know, whatever, but they decided it was not something they wanted to continue doing in 93. They did stop it.
Well, I'll make sure that the next time Robert chimes in, I ask him if he didn't know.
Yeah,
anything
I asked him about that. I don't know how long he's been over in Japan, but anyway, it's
sitting here way up on top of the mountain and everything. You've got me jonesing for a nice plate of sushi now, Jim. So you know.
Well, then you go for that raw fish, but I don't know. Is it still snowing over your way?
No, it quit. I think if we get anything, it'll be rain and it'll make things
it's
a real mess in the morning.
Like crazy here.
Is it snowing like crazy over there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess you guys get a little bit. You're a little bit higher up than we are, but.
Well, up here on Parnassus.
Yeah.
And so, as usual, I have all my lights out, and it's blowing. I have like 3,000 out now.
Oh my goodness! I bet that's beautiful.
Well, and here's the thing: they're all on a dimmer.
One dimmer.
Mm-hmm. One dimmer, and it holds it. And the power company said you use only half the electricity. And if I turned it off full blast, you could see it from outer space. And that I don't want.
You'd have errant aircraft homing in on you.
Probably would, and that I don't want. But, I mean, when you turn the lights down on the rheostat, they go from white to gold, and it's real pretty. And, you know, it's just something that
I do love the lights at this time of year, and I know it's hard on us electrically, and some might deem it a waste. But you know what? I kind of wish through the darkest part of the year, I wish people would leave their lights up till like, you know, late February, especially February.
I do. And this Christmas is going to be a hard Christmas for me because it's my first Christmas without my mother.
I understand. I've been reflecting.
You know, but still, you know, I've always believed in one thing. It is better to light a candle than curse the dark.
And you, with those 3,000 bulbs, you are that is a loud, shall we say, rejection of cursing the darkness. Jim, thank you very kindly, and have yourself a wonderful evening.
Well, the same to you, and see if you can find out about getting your foundations out of a vending machine. I'm sure there'll be somebody who'll probably try to start it over here. Who knows? You never can tell.
Oh, mercy me. I don't know. Maybe Agnes would like that, but that's just bizarre, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Okay, good night.
Bye now. And let's roll on and see who we've got here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. I didn't know I was on.
You are now.
Okay. Hi. This is Carla Daniel from Clearfield.
Well, hi, Carla. How are you? You're in Utah, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I got a couple of things. I got to tell you, I was in Seattle coming back from visiting my mother up on Whidbey Island for Thanksgiving, and I was going through the airport. You know how you do. You have to take practically all your clothes off. And I put my shoes in the little bin and went through, the little door. And then,
right.
And then right behind me was some people that were a man that was on some airline flight crew. And so I'm putting my shoes on and I'm looking at my shoes at my feet and I'm looking at his feet. And he had his little suitcase that he had to put through the thing. And I looked at my feet and his feet, and he had his shoes on, and I had my shoes off. And it just came out. I said, oh, you're not one of the lucky ones that get to take their shoes off. And it took him back for a while. And then he says, well, I guess you're not one of the lucky ones that can fly a plane. Because it just, the stupidity.
Oh, Carla, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no terrorist prevention in all of this sort of collective cultural, sociocultural hissy that we're having. If we inconvenience people, we make them feel like we're actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like shoveling a pile of sand into a wheelbarrow and moving it 20 yards over and unshoveling the pile of sand. All you've done is move the sand.
Yeah, one person, that the so-called shoe bomber, you know, all of this, you know, I mean, the other atrocities to our liberties were done by, you know, 9/11 that they keep repeating over and over, so we're constantly afraid. But I just thought, oh, I'm lucky I didn't get put over to the side and say, well, we're going to really check you out.
Yeah, strip searched with a full cavity, sir.
And last night I was listening to, do you ever listen to Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman?
I do when I can. I love Amy Goodman's work. I have so much respect for her.
Well, you know, on her webpage, you probably could get the dialogue that she had last night was with Lou Dobbs.
I heard that was a Donnybrook.
Oh, it was horrible. It was way bizarre. He acted like... who are you to question me on anything? He kept interrupting, like he reminded me of Sean,
Hannity.
Hannity and Bill O'Reilly.
Well, see, when I heard that Lou Dobbs had been on Amy Goodman's program, the first thing I flashed on Carla was that the Dog and Pony Show when Bill O'Reilly went on Fresh Air with Terry Gross. You know, meek, mild little, you know, public radio voice Terry Gross, and came out, you know, stomped out of the interview and accused her of abusing him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what? Yeah, huh?
What? Huh? Because I had listened to that, and she was just asking legitimate questions, you know, and I. But there was one part in there, they were talking, you know, because he's really over the top on this immigration issue. And they had, I guess, a while back, some lady that was totally supposed to have been some type of doctor on the anti-immigration. She really had some disparaging remarks to make about, you know, Hispanics. And she was real hateful and everything. And I guess Leslie Saul had been on his program questioning his program. And he said, and I swear this is what he said, you know, nobody makes up our facts, and if they do, I'm the one that does it because I'm the managing editor. And I said, well, you're outright lying. In other words, you can make false statements, you know, because you're the only one that's allowed to do that.
Right, and he's the only one who will let himself get away with it. I have no regard for Lou Dobbs. I know there are a lot of people out there, Carla, who do, but his... he was at CNN way, way, way back when I was in the radio division there. And, you know, he was a right-wing punk then, and he's still just another right-wing punk. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he just is. He's a Republican through and through, and the only thing he's doing now is trying to save his audience and save his hide by talking about the war on the middle class, but at the same time he's trying to keep his right-wing audience happy by excoriating people for being brown.
Mm-hmm. And like your story about Huntsville, Alabama last night, I thought, you know, where's the outrage, you know, in the public about what's going on with that deal?
Well, where's the knowledge of the public, Carla?
Yeah.
I mean, before there can be outrage, there has to be awareness.
And where do you get the knowledge? Because our news media won't report it, will they?
No. No, this is... It's not interesting because it wouldn't be right to show a news story concerning workers in America being abused because it doesn't fit the official party paradigm that this is the workers' paradise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, discrimination is discrimination and abuse is abuse, and to me that, you know, is another form of torture to have all those people coming so far away from home and then not have a way out, you know.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. Those people are going to be slaves, indentured mm-hmm. servants. Technically it ought to be illegal and it is unconstitutional. But if you say anything about protecting workers in this era with this administration, they'll haul out the commie flag, drape you in it, and accuse you of whistling the Internationale.
Mm-hmm. Because they're doing it not only here in the United States, they're recruiting workers from other countries to go to work in Iraq and then do the same thing in Iraq. So,
what goes on in Iraq, they don't even tell them they're going to Iraq. They tell them they're going somewhere else and then hijack them to Iraq. That story was very well documented. Unfortunately, it didn't have any staying power, if you know what I mean.
And then, the little tidbits, the other one is... did you happen to watch on C-SPAN the little press thing with David Gregory and Nora O'Donnell, Helen Thomas?
No, I didn't see that.
It was on over the weekend, I think Sunday night, and Dan Rather and David Sanger from the New York Times.
Okay.
And another fellow, I didn't get him, he was Associated Press. Online in, is it Morton Call, one of the Call brothers.
Okay.
You know, used to be on the news.
Yeah.
And they were just discussing, you know, the news, you know, how they, you know, make the news and or the stories, and more or less, you know, like the Iraq came up, and, well, we can't go back. We do our best, and we can't go back and change what happened. We just have to move forward. Well, moving forward, you should be asking the questions that you didn't ask when you first started us to get in the war, and the media played a big part of it. And then that pompous David Gregory, who tries to, you know, on all those news conferences, tries to portray himself as knowledgeable, and he's, you know, he's just so pompous because at that news, newscaster, broadcaster dinner that they had about a year and a half ago, he gets up on stage with Karl Rove and makes a fool out of himself, and he says that he really thinks Bush is really smart.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they don't call him on him.
Well, that was David Gregory that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not a broadcast journalist, you know, to do something like that. For me, that took him down, you know, a bunch of pegs. And then poor old Helen Thomas, I mean, she gets her nixed in, but they tried to, and you know, even slam down and talk down to her.
Carla, she made a comment the other day that Dana Perineum and Bill O'Reilly both completely twisted, I mean, didn't even bother to use her own words, and excoriated that 87-year-old woman. I mean, a fly wouldn't have lit on her. If words were knives, she'd have gone away in a basket, no doubt about it.
And then, I guess, when Bush was making his stupid press conference yesterday, you know, did you see that on the podium he has a chart? And I noticed it last night, and then I saw a report on the Internet that there's a couple of places that are X'd out, and one of them is Helen Thomas. But when they vilify Helen Thomas, those idiots, because they're owned by the corporations, I don't care that David Gregory says, well, yeah, we, our news corporation, you know, they tell us to report the news, don't worry about it, that they're owned by GE or anything like that. But when they vilify, like they do with Helen Thomas, another correspondent, why don't they stand up? Why don't they show some, you know what? Because the news media is not, it's like what they say, they're just for entertainment.
They are, and they're enamored of their access. Mm-hmm. They love the idea that they can get a call from one of these insiders who will pretend that they actually like them, when in fact, if they were laying bleeding on the ground from a car wreck, the Karl Roves and the Josh Boltons of the world would do everything in their power to walk around them. But they love the idea of the access. It makes them feel like something beyond the sad, sorry little mere mortals that they are.
Mm-hmm. And that man, he just looks more and more that he's out of control, and he's, you know, so cocky and just wish that, you know, he could be removed.
Yeah, I know.
Peacefully, I should say. But
that's legally and peacefully, Carla, legally, yeah. And peacefully.
Well, yeah, but I don't think they're going to do anything. And at this stage of the game, we're just going to have to, you know, suck it up. And because you can't, what can you as a citizen do? You can go and protest in, you know, a peace rally, or if you want to call it anti-war or whatever, you can write your letters to your senators and your congressmen, or, you know, in the case of sometimes the governor, but it doesn't go anywhere. You know, our vote, you know, we vote for these people we're putting our trust in, and then we give them all the power, and there is no accountability. And,
none.
You know, how to, you know, and when they control, and when it's run by money, you know, you feel helpless. You know, I'll still go to my rallies and stuff like that.
And I'm going to go to the polls. And there are people who tell me that I, you know, as long as I'm going to the polls, I'm enabling the you know, I'm helping to perpetuate the problem. But if I stay away from the polls, Carla, that means that somebody who's even worse, you know, some real right-wing, tongue-speaking, serpent-handling type is going to get in office, and then we'll really be done for.
Because I feel our vote, you know, that's what, you know, the troops are over there fighting for it. That's what, you know, people, you know, years ago fought for, to preserve our right to vote. And if we don't do it, that's the tragedy, even though you think that it doesn't count. But at least you made your point that I did vote. It's not my president.
And you get the right to say that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Carla, it's been lovely hearing from you. I hope we will again soon. Don't be a stranger, okay?
Okay. And on this Mitt Romney deal, that'll be interesting. And when he was at that Republican debacle of a debate, when the guy held up the Bible, and he stumbled off. He could not say, yes, I believe in some of this. He you know, because I don't...
He knew he was being watched.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know that... I live here in the Utah. I'm not a Mormon. I'm a spiritual being. And they believe more in that Book of Mormon. And I think that's one of the reasons that he stumbled over. The fact that he did a bad... had a bad appearance is the reason he's finally decided that he's got to speak out. And I don't even like the fact that he's going to, you know, Texas. Why didn't he make his little speech someplace in, you know, his home place, Massachusetts? You know, I don't understand that. So,
well, he's trying to emulate John Kennedy, because John Kennedy made his famous religion speech in Texas as well, I do believe.
Yeah, but, you know, Catholics, you know, that's the Bible is their book, you know, and probably the little catechism book.
Yeah, it was theirs before it was anybody else's. I mean,
okay,
except the Old Testament, and that was, you know,
I'll call back. Okay, I'll call back, but I miss our little chit-chat with your lovely wife, Agnes.
Well, she does, too, and every now and then threatens to come back and produce again. But the fact of the matter is, we're raising a family here, and
right,
there are kids who have to get their homework, and sometimes you got to crack the whip over their heads to make sure the homework gets done. We're very proud of our kids. They have stunning, stellar grades right now, and I can't help but say that Agnes is a humongous part of that. So I don't, you know, I think she'll be back at some point. I don't know when. God knows I miss her, because I have no business punching all these buttons and trying to do a talk show at the same time.
Well, I figured that might have happened, because I knew you had, you know, younger kids. You have an older daughter. But
right.
They're
20, 13, 12, and 11.
Mm-hmm. But it was just, it was fun. And I know when the kids get older, that probably will come back.
Well, and we've got the little grandbaby, too, Carla. And getting Agnes away from the grandbaby requires, you know, basically some sort of lubricant and a crowbar. I mean, my baby.
Well, yeah. Well, you all have, you know, a nice day, or what's left of it, and I'll be calling back and keep up. I think sometimes you should be on the national news when they show on C-SPAN different progressive talk radio.
Oh, I'd love to. I would just love that, but I don't think, you know, we're Internet only, so people look down their nose at us. I guess we're not sufficiently professional, because we don't have to bow and kowtow to the FCC and try to get our programming put on AM radio stations that are owned by right-wing fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a real bad attitude about that, Carla. I just really, really do.
I understand, and I will be sending a donation. I've been thinking about it, and I just haven't sat down and addressed the envelope. How bad is that?
You know, bless your heart for doing it. Thank you so very much, and we do appreciate it. Carla,
okay.
Have a wonderful evening.
Have a good broadcast. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And let's keep this rolling. I do have something regarding Mitt Romney coming here fairly. I want to share it with you with some urgency. But right now we'll keep on with the phones. Hey, who have I got?
Me?
Me?
As in Eugene.
Oh, Eugene. Well, see, you know, I guess I conjured you.
You did indeed.
You did.
All this talk about spirituality and religion.
And bang, there you are.
Indeed.
You know, I loved what you did with Mitt Romney today.
Well, why don't you do it? Because, you know, your mellifluous voice.
Say that three times.
You know, my nasal, you know, effete intonations. So, please.
Well, what you did, Eugene. First of all, I love the way that you play with language. In referring to Mitt's upcoming speech tomorrow, referring to it as the Sermon on the Mounty Bank, that's just, how does that happen for you, Eugene? I mean, does it just go, you know, bang, and there it is, or do you sit down and play with it and doodle and then it sort of, you know, rises to the top of the paper? What's the process for you? Because there's no end to the stuff that you can touch on. How does it happen?
I must have had a warped childhood, because these things come quickly to me.
Well, it's either that or, you know.
Or perhaps I'm still in that warped childhood. That's actually.
Or, you know, we're raised by aliens from planet Zorb. I don't know because I don't know a lot of people that think the way you do. Now, the Sermon on the Mountebank, as you noted, Eugene, tomorrow Mitt Romney will speak about his Mormon faith. And today a focus group is telling him what he believes. God, I love that. Pollster and candidate trainer Frank Luntz recruited 15 insurance agents from a Rotary Club luncheon to find out what they wanted in a Mormon. Luntz first questioned the focus group about its impression of Mormons. The group knew that Mormons had big families and liked to sing, but somehow weren't Italian. Luntz then asked the group if it preferred Mr. Romney to be Italian, and Romney offered to curl his hair. You know, but then again, he already combs it with olive oil and a fork. He can't be that far, you know, that far from it. Then came a sort of discussion of the Mormon faith with the focus group. Since only Mormons are allowed to know the tenets of their religion, Luntz could only describe what he had read on Wikipedia, specifically that Jesus did not drink coffee. The focus group considered that to be un-American. Mr. Romney volunteered to serve decaf for the Second Coming. Luntz asked the group what it wanted in a Mormon Jesus. Everyone agreed that he had to speak English and be an excellent golfer. He also had to be a legal alien. Romney promised to personally check Jesus' immigration papers and deport him if necessary. Confusing Mormonism with Scientology, several members of the focus group thought that a Mormon Jesus traveled in a spaceship. However, since this was not a majority opinion, Mr. Romney vaguely disagreed. Finally, Luntz asked the audience what Mr. Romney should say tomorrow. The focus group recommended a concession speech. Amen, Brother Eugene. Amen.
Amen indeed.
Because so much, you know, this is irony, and yes, I did accuse you of sarcasm yesterday, but it's all grounded in a certain amount of truth, because Mr. Romney...
Man truly is a mountebank. I mean, he is
yes.
a complete charlatan. He is, just to look at him, he looks like the CEO of Central Casting. He is so glibly, you know, handsome. I mean, he's the perfect marketing executive.
I mean,
in his case, extreme unction is not a last rite, but a first impression.
Oh, there's a beauty. I'm hanging on to that one.
I mean, really, the man qualifies personally as a member of OPEC. He is that oily.
And, well, you know, he has real problems because, I mean, I'm not trying to hammer on him for being a Mormon, but he is one. And so we've had him sitting down with Bob Jones University. Does that make your head spin, Eugene? The idea of good Mormon elder Mitt Romney sitting down with the Bob Jones University crowd.
You know, because Mormonism, in a way, is such a truly a mystery religion. Perhaps those Bob Jones, you know, fundamentalists don't fully understand the religion, you know. I'm surprised because obviously anything that deviates from their very myopic perspective must be wrong. But in a way, again, the oily salesman will say whatever he thinks the audience wants to hear.
In other words, he's a living, breathing manifestation of that passage from the Pauline letters when he says, "Lo, I am become all things to all people." Is that it?
And well, perhaps more mannequin than man. But, you know, he will absorb whatever he expects the audience wants to hear.
He's like some sort of shapeshifter from a bad sci-fi channel series.
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, there are real issues out there that and people say, you know, I don't believe in picking on him for his religion. Well, I'm not picking on him, but I want substantial answers, just like, Mike Huckstery has taken to getting rather snippy now that he's number one among the Republicans in Iowa. He's getting a little bit tired of being asked about the fact that he doesn't believe in evolution. And he says it's unfair to ask him about it, but on the other hand, he turns around and says that we need to question Mr. Romney about his faith, and there are questions out there that legitimately need to be answered, such as the fact that Mr. Romney's church didn't decide until, what, 1978, that African Americans were fully human?
I believe that's correct.
It
was in the late 70s.
There are quotes from Joseph Smith, the so-called founder of the church about people of African descent that you would not you would run screaming from the room if you heard it in so-called polite. Well, it wouldn't be tolerated in polite conversation in this day and age. He deserves to be queried on that. He deserves to be queried. I mean, okay, you know, you've referenced it. We've talked about it. You're Jewish. How do you, as a Jewish American, feel about the fact that members of Romney's faith performed baptisms of Holocaust victims? You know, symbolically baptized dead victims of the Holocaust. What does that say to you?
I think the word is chutzpah. Of course, they call me a Gentile in Utah. But it makes me feel that, you know, perhaps I'm not the only satirist around. It's too ridiculous to be really offensive. On the other hand, it did make me think of what he was doing in France, you know, his heroics in France during the Vietnam War, his missionary work. Just, they can't baptize the dead. That would give him an incentive to become a serial killer. He could just, you know, add up, you know, kill the people and then convert them.
Save their souls.
I mean, that
right
would make
a kill
sales quota. But, you know, the whole idea that you can just, you know, and actually he could have gone to a library, any French bibliothèque, and in one day announced that he had, just converted Molière, Racine, Dumas, and Victor Hugo. I mean, celebrity endorsements for Mormonism, all post-mortem, but still, it counts.
And it's not like they're there to object.
Absolutely, absolutely no.
Oui.
And the, why do I sound better in French than in English? But in any case, the idea of post-mortem conversions is a joke. I mean, of course, one man's dogma is another man's joke, but the point is, I'm not offended by it because it's so ludicrous.
Now, the word coming out of the Romney camp, Eugene, is that it's not going to be a speech about his Mormonism.
Of course. First off, because he can't divulge the tenets of the faith. It is, you know, slightly
You think if we played the alley cat for him that maybe he might loosen a button and show us, like, you know, a little bit of the sacred underwear?
That part fascinates me, not as much as it would Senator Craig, but it intrigues me. The idea of sacred underwear. Mind you, Orthodox Jews do wear those long ascots that are called talith.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know.
I've stood at a wedding, and, you know, somewhere I've still got my own personal yarmulke with the name of the bride and groom stamped on the inside of it. It was sweet and it was wonderful. It's a hat. It's a scarf.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be overly graphic, but, you know, your skid marks get you next to God?
It does. It defies reason, but what religion doesn't?
Well, right. We're not talking about the age of reason or rationalism here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so patently really, really irrational. I mean, do you look at pictures of Native Americans and see and feel a sudden kinship because Joseph Smith declared that they were
lost 10 tribes?
Yeah.
Surprisingly not. And, you know, I'm the type of person who actually sees the movie about the Jew and the cast, so, you know, if I can sit through They Die With Their Boots On and have absolutely no sense of ethnic, you know, affinity, the Sioux are not Jewish.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Dustin Hoffman wasn't a little big man, but that's another story.
I went wandering around today after reading your comment at Your RDA of Irony, Eugene, and there is a substantial group out there who have made up this entire mythology around the Olmecs of Central Mexico or the Central Mexican coast, and have declared them to have been the Jaredites, referenced in the Book of Mormon, who were the first chosen people, who were left, whose language was left intact, who split off from the Tower of Babel and somehow or another found their way to the Mexican coast. I'm not kidding. And frankly, I think it's fair for the American people. Maybe it'd be good for the American people if we can get up out of our collective ADD long enough to do it, Eugene. Maybe it would be good for the American people to look at it and finally have a discussion about religion that sort of agrees, okay, all of this is just a little bit crazy. Any likelihood?
I wish we were back in the age of reason, but for some reason we're not. And, I mean, in some cases we are approaching more of the Dark Ages than, you know, the 18th century. As silly as, Mormonism's, some of these Mormon tenets tend to be, it's the fact that the man is just so...
reptilian.
Yes, I mean, and the fact that he's such a charlatan, he changes his opinions, you know. Talk about flip-flopping. I mean, he's shameless. Oh, I changed my mind. And it's a disgrace. You know, it is an affront. I mean, I have worked for glib executives, you know, unctuous, you know, smiling, you know, marketing people with, you know, 300 teeth, you know, grinning. They have nothing to say, but, you know, they always want an audience to say it. And, you know, he does remind me of that type. Obviously, he's much more successful than my mere, you know, VP of marketing at, you know, international conglomerate, but for whom I write speeches occasionally. Hey, I have to make a living somehow.
It's Daffy Duck, you know. It's a living.
My wife is just on a middle-class standard of living, what can I say? And Romney's hypocrisy, even by the standards of politicians.
That's what I was kind of getting to. You gotta be really, really reptilian for the rest of the snakes to sort of say he slithers too much.
Yes. I mean, we have a long history of shameless politicians. I mean, there were those, you know, red-belted Southern demagogues, you know, who, you know, in public, you know, talk like they're, you know, their lowest common denominator constituent, and, you know, you hardly would have known that they'd gone to Harvard Law.
Well, and Fred Thompson is that guy. It has come out, and this is really fun, or not fun, I should be ashamed of myself for saying it that way. But on this day when there is so much grief in Omaha, Nebraska, headline, Thompson does not have hunting license. Dateline, Columbia, South Carolina. Fred Thompson has made a point of visiting gun shops and gun shows while hitting the campaign trail in New Hampshire and South Carolina, usually with camera crews in tow. But he admitted today that he does not have a hunting license, nor has he been hunting recently. Definition of recently being ever in my miserable life.
Well, the same was true for Willard Romney.
Hey, where is that his first name?
Willard is his first name. Mitt is his middle name.
Because, you know, I saw that reference in what you wrote, and my skin just crawled, Eugene, because, you know, being a child of the late 60s, early 70s, and onward, I was immediately taken back to that just delightfully creepy movie about the rat.
With the song by the prepubescent Michael Jackson, although actually I think he still is prepubescent, in a band, the two of us.
Now, that was Ben. Willard was the other one.
But Ben, oh, you're right. That song was, the, you know, for the sequel. You're right.
And suddenly, you know, now that
I'm... Davison, yeah, the Willard eats and the other rats eat Ernest Borgnine.
Yeah, Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, whom I got to meet last spring, Mr. Borgnine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very nice fellow. Very nice fellow.
Yeah.
But somehow the metaphor really, really works for me, Eugene. Because you can tell by reading what these people say that on the Republican side, it's, you know, we have there's absolutely no hope for America if one of these cretins gets elected. There is some hope if a Democrat does.
Yes.
And it's not like watching a gladiatorial spectacle in ancient Rome to see these freaks on the Republican side having at it. I'm not sure quite what it is, but I don't know, bad puppet theater. But there's something, even, you know, as a Democrat, there is something about these people that I can't tear myself away from. It's just too, the same thing that keeps you turning pages reading Kafka's Metamorphosis. You know, oh, hell, he's a cockroach. Page two, oh, he's still a cockroach. Page four, 10 pages in, and he's still a bug. And that's,
actually,
you know, that's what I get from these people.
I object to that because I think it was a much more intelligent story than anything the Republicans have come out with this year.
Well, it was, but he's still a bug. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Eugene, it is always a joy to sit down in conversation with you, and I've just enjoyed this immensely. I hope I haven't been an annoyance in my own right by riding over some of the stuff that you've written and that you've said. Because
are you kidding? I'm honored.
My God, one of these days, you know, when we either hit the lottery, find the rich, the rich liberal angel who decides to support this network, or some combination of the two, and we're just rolling in money, I'm going to hire you as sort of my writer and nobody else's writer, but oh God, we'll have to let you join the union, won't we? Oh well, you know, into each life some rain must fall. But yeah, once, you know, when we hit the lottery, you can count on it.
If I only knew some lucky numbers, I would help you myself.
Well, you know, if something comes to you in your sleep, you know, keep a notepad by the desk, you know, write them down. What we can do, you know, numerology. I don't care. We'll find a way. But I really, I can't recommend enough. And I've noticed that some Horn listeners have been going over to your site lately. I cannot recommend highly enough that if you have not signed up for your RDA of irony over at FinnermanWorks.com, that you are cheating yourself. I mean, you know, look, I'll be honest, Eugene. I see the stuff that, and I guess he's much lauded, and you know, everybody thinks he's just the bee's knees. I read the stuff over at the Borowitz Report. Can't hold a candle to what you're doing.
I have to agree with you, but my mother-in-law wouldn't because she went to Harvard, too.
God, that really is the key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lord. Well, Eugene, take care and have yourself a wonderful evening, and I hope we'll be hearing from you again soon.
I look forward to it. Take care. Thanks again.
Oh, my pleasure. Bye now.
Bye.
The sharpest satirist on the Internet, bar none, Eugene Finnerman, FinnermanWorks.com, FinnermanWorks.com. When you get there, click on your RDA of irony and sign up just to have it delivered, bang, right to your email box every day. Because I guarantee you, you'll get a giggle, you'll learn stuff you didn't know, you know, and that's the really fun stuff to learn. I didn't know this. Well, there you are. I know all kinds of stuff about the Swedish militarism now that I never knew before, and I am enriched for it. I am genuinely and truly enriched for it. So we will go and do the news and come back and take your phone calls. I'm sorry, all kinds of people stacked up. We're just going to get through it as quickly as we possibly can, one call after the other. I've got a couple of lines open if you want to fire them up, and we'll do phone calls all next hour if that's what you want to do. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to independent, liberal conversation radio, listener-supported style. Right here on the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, won't you stay? Stay a while with your own one. Don't ever stray so far from your own one.
This is the Quality News Network. In America's heartland, 9 people are dead, 5 are wounded, after a gunman opened fire at a crowded shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska, and then turned the gun on himself. Nebraska State Police have locked down the Westroads Mall. Shoppers are being allowed out, but no one is being allowed inside. Authorities say the shooter's motive is unclear, but he did leave a suicide note behind. As it heads north, a devastating storm in the Pacific Northwest has left a path of destruction in its wake. At least 5 people have died. Meantime, residents are cleaning up. State workers are trying to open highways and public buildings ravaged by rain and wind. Congressional investigators warn of a, quote, high risk of catastrophic runway crash occurring at a U.S. airport. That's according to the Government Accountability Office, an investigative arm of Congress. The report points to overworked air traffic controllers, malfunctioning technology, and a lack of federal leadership as reasons why a major runway accident could happen at any time. President Bush will speak to the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis tomorrow after crafting an agreement between banks and mortgage companies to freeze subprime rates for the next 5 years. Mr. Bush is also calling on Iran to, quote, come clean, unquote, regarding its nuclear activities or else face diplomatic isolation. In response, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is declaring victory over the U.S. concerning new intelligence. A U.N. nuclear watchdog says Iran is, quote, somewhat vindicated, unquote, by the U.S. report. The Supreme Court is deciding whether or not to reverse a lower court decision, which basically ruled that 36 prisoners at Guantanamo Bay have no constitutional rights. Some have been held without charge for more than 6 years. In Baghdad, a car bomb exploded, killing at least 14 people today. Another 8 died in other attacks throughout Iraq. Another suicide bombing in Afghanistan. Today, at least 16 police recruits were killed in Kabul. In Gaza this morning, 3 Hamas militants were killed in an Israeli airstrike. For the first time in a decade, an American Secretary of State is visiting Africa. Condoleezza Rice meeting with officials from 5 African nations to express concern about increasing violence. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Back after this.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
FEMA says it is trying to recover more than $500 million in emergency aid mistakenly distributed in connection with hurricanes Katrina and Rita. The Justice Department has already prosecuted nearly 800 people for fraud. The price of crude oil jumped today after OPEC refused to raise production. The cartel meets again in February. There's been an unexpected rise in orders to U.S. factories during the month of October, although some of the gain is due to higher energy prices. The Commerce Department reports that orders jumped by 0.5%. That's a half point better than the flat rate that had been expected. Freddie Mac says the quarterly sale price of American homes fell more steeply than it has in 25 years, the hardest hit region being the Pacific Northwest. GE is recalling 92,000 microwave combo wall ovens because of fire danger. The U.S.-made ovens were sold under the GE and Kenmore labels. And automaker Daimler announced U.S. orders for its fuel-efficient mini vehicle, the Smart Car, are fast outstripping production capacity. More than 30,000 Americans have put down deposits for the cars, which hit dealerships in January. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 196 points to end at 13,445. NASDAQ up 46 points, the S&P 500 up 22. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
What a lovely little prayer meeting we're having this evening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for chiming in with your thoughts, your emails, your phone calls. We're chatting madly away in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. It's free, and it's fun. If you've never been there, you should make a point of going. And, you know, during most all the programs, turn your monitors off, Bob. You sound like you're in a barrel. During all the live programming, there's just about always somebody in there, and the conversation is fine. Jump right in. Before we do head back to the phones, and head back to the phones, we will indeed in just about a couple of seconds. I want to let you know, if you're in the Cleveland area, coming up soon, come on, guys, where's the date? Oh, there it is. Saturday, December 8th, 1 p.m. at Kucinich for President headquarters. That's 11808 Lorraine Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. Phone number is 877-413-3664. Go out, get your holiday shopping done, and then go by the Kucinich headquarters and help raise money for Dennis for President. They'll be selling CDs of Victrola and the Dust Bunnies, Democracy. That's D-U-H-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y, a Dandy Good disc. They'll be selling that, and $5 from every disc will be contributed to the Kucinich for President campaign. Things getting great reviews. Our good friend Brad Friedman says, "I really dig the CD. It was laugh out loud funny, and in the great tradition of Tom Lehrer, Peter B. Collins, whose show you can hear in rerun on the Horn Stream, said." He gets requests for songs from that disc, and him with a talk show. Lots of people have said great things about the Democracy disc. If you're in the Cleveland area, go by and step up for the real Democracy, the Democracy that's D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y, and help out Dennis Kucinich in the process. To the phones we go. And our dear friend Juanita has been waiting quite a while. Juanita, thank you for your patience, dear.
Oh, you're welcome, and I've really enjoyed the phone calls. They've been so interesting. In fact, I call about one thing, but I had so much in common with Carla.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about what she was talking about, because she and I both saw the same shows.
Oh, really?
Every one of them I saw, yeah, that she was talking about. I saw the Lou Dobbs interview. And he was terrible. And this is a guy that I really admired for quite a while. I thought he was for the people, but my son said something the other day, well, you can't get him anymore because you don't have CNN. And I said, I don't care. I said, he's gone crazy, you know, or maybe he just always was and I didn't know it. But
please, Juanita, let's get one thing clear. Lou Dobbs has been a pompous ass for decades now.
Well, okay, I'll take your word for it, because I'm starting to see it, I'll tell you. I mean, he would not, Amy and the other gentleman, he was, every time they try to make any headway or just ask him a simple question, he just, like, she had it right. Like, how dare you ask me a question? How dare you question what I say?
Yeah, he's supposed to go on an interview show and just bloviate for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. and walk away unscathed. And because he's the great God Almighty Lou Dobbs, nobody gets to challenge any of the sillier aspects of what he says.
They were willing to listen to him. You know, they were both willing to listen to him.
Well, I don't think anybody could
have ganged up on him.
Yeah, I don't think anybody could characterize Amy Goodman as a screamer or anything.
No, they had not ganged up on him at all. But he was so rude. And I noticed on his show, once he had, like, he would have talk show hosts, and he would have different ones. But he would have the same so-called great political commentaries, and they were basically the same ones all the time. And the Democrat one, you could tell he was one of those Washington Democrats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, a Beltway.
Blue Dog.
Yeah.
I guess. And they were all, and he'd also have the same general on commentating on the war, and you could tell that that general was all for Bush. You just could tell it. I mean, it was obvious.
Well, Dobbs is not an idiot, Juanita, and as a consequence, he's doing what a lot of right-wingers are doing right now, and that's trying to put a little bit of metaphysical and psychological and intellectual distance between him and Bush as if he wasn't part of the problem. Lou Dobbs was a part of the problem. Lou Dobbs was overtly in favor of the election of George Bush in 2000, even, you know, and in 2004.
Yeah, I didn't listen to him back then. And
now he doesn't want to own up to it and take intellectual ownership of what he helped birth.
Well, they weren't even asking him about that. You know, they were asking him about the thing about the leprosy and all, you know, and different things about the
Of course, the leprosy business got fed to him from a person closely associated with Tom Tancredo, America's biggest xenophobe. Mm-hmm.
The one that's running for president?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy whose name's Tancredo, but it's really a Navajo name because his people have been here forever, so therefore he can slam immigrants.
Oh, okay.
Even though his parents came over on a boat two generations ago.
Well.
Yeah, that Tom Tancredo.
The one that's going to build a fence around the world or whatever.
And just like the Great Wall of China, you can see it from space, and just like the Great Wall of China, it will be an abject failure because walls do not for security make. You know, it's worth remembering, there's that great Robert Frost poem, Juanita, where, it's called Mending Walls, and that line that is so often quoted of Frost's, you know, wow, good fences make good neighbors.
Neighbors.
No one ever seems to notice that Robert Frost put that line in the mouth of an idiot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it's the other guy. In that poem, Frost clearly displays disdain for, who makes that remark.
Oh, okay.
And it is not meant as an endorsement of that of isolationism, but rather an overt rejection of it. But, you know, the American people are in a place, Juanita, where they can't deal with nuance, and subtlety is not in their makeup.
Yeah, right, yeah. And she had, Carla also saw that program with that whippersnapper that danced with Carl Rove.
Yeah, David Gregory.
And he, you know, that you will ask those people, and I said, why don't you ask a question? He says, we do, you know. And Helen Thomas was sitting there, and she said, no, we don't. Yes, we do. And I love Helen Thomas. Now, she's one person that if you write her, she always answers back.
I know. I've had a couple of emails back from her. She's
one of them, I knew that she had to have read mine, you know, because of the comment that she made. She said, I hadn't thought about that before. And, you know, then I knew that she was reading them. But I just love the lady. And they just so dishonor her, and she's a real treasure.
They don't care who they stomp on, Juanita.
Because they
have no honor in their own right. They are dishonorable people.
But it was funny when Carla started talking, and I was saying, gosh, you lost all those shows. everything she was talking about, I was right along with her. But I did want to, I'll say one thing about that I was going to call about the program you had on yesterday. I got to hear the rerun about the man that the separation of church and state.
Oh, that wasn't a rerun.
Yeah, this morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I understand. Yeah.
Sometime, you know.
Yeah, from Americans United. Right, you heard it on
I wasn't able to listen to it fully yesterday, and I listened to most of it today, and I just I forgot what I was going to talk about, but I do want to ask you a question. You were raised Southern Baptist.
I was.
Did you ever hear about the rapture when you were going to church?
Oh, mercy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, see, I never heard of it until I was, you know, back in the 70s.
Well, see, that's about the time that, I mean, I was...
You were a little boy, right?
Yeah, I'm 44. So,
yeah, you're the same age as my son.
So. I started here, and it dovetails, Juanita, with the perversion of the Southern Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
Insofar as, you know, I think it was a couple of nights ago we were talking about Hal Lindsey. No, it was last night on the Horn Section.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the late great Planet Earth.
Yeah, that's where I first heard about it.
And, I mean, the whole church was absolutely on fire about it.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
just had to read that book. And, boy, yeah. you know, we're gonna go right through the roof of the car, aren't we, Mabel?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, they've got different ones. Have got different interpretations of that. You know, that Tim LaHaye that wrote Left Behind.
Yeah.
He says they're all the clothes are going to be off. They're going to be left in a
We're going to have to fly naked?
And I asked my friend, you know, I said, do you think that Jesus went, ascended into heaven without any clothes on? She said, I don't know, but she's kind of for that. And when I heard about it, they said, oh, you'll just disappear.
But see, it's all non-biblical, and these people are arguing about the number of angels that can dance on the head of a pin.
It's just,
It's phony theology. It's phony theological intellectualism is what it boils down to.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to talk to you, but I'm going to call you another time about Charles Stanley.
Yeah.
And you got to know him.
Yeah. The TV preacher out of Atlanta.
Yeah, because he's Southern Baptist.
Oh, I met him personally. He stopped when my grandmother was in the hospital. He just happened to be there and stopped in and you know, prayed with her, and came out and just said, "I have been blessed, Lord. I have been blessed. That woman is a saint." No
well,
kidding.
Well, he's very beloved, but I'll tell you. He came out for the war, and he came out for Bush, you know, and when it all first started, and anybody that was against the war was wrong, and I said, that's it for me with him. Any respect I had for him, you know, and I
But the whole crowd threw out, suffer the little children to come unto me in favor of, come on, y'all, let's go and make him little Iraqi children suffer.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, what use would I have with that organization? I don't want to be part of it. I don't want to be mentioned in
yeah.
their company.
He twisted scripture. She told me about hearing the sermon, and so I said, I'm going to hear what he had to say. And I couldn't believe all the stuff he was saying to his people. And you know, like you were talking yesterday on the show about that. The separation of church and state, you know, telling Catholics are going to hell if they vote for, you know, a Democrat. And see, I had all that planted in my mind for a while.
Sure.
Because I was under duress and all, and I was looking for, I didn't have anybody to cling to. But anyhow, that's why I think it happened. I don't know what happened. I think I was hypnotized or something, but
it's very similar to it, because if that's your circle that you travel in and those are the people you run around in, it becomes an echo chamber.
Well, it was like they had the answers and I didn't know what the answers were at the time. You know, I'd lost all my family that cared anything about having me, and I had a small son, and I just you know, didn't have anybody to turn to. And I thought they knew more,
you know,
than I did.
Juanita, you've talked a little bit about some of the things you've been through, and I just admire you so much. Because
well,
that's real courage. It takes real courage to get through that.
Yeah.
And it's people who, you know, you're right. They have the answers.
Well,
they've got the secret knowledge, and they're going to keep it from you. Yeah.
They've destroyed a lot of people who are, you know, when you're down and out, you can be destroyed. They can really do a number on you. It doesn't have to be Abba Grave. It can be mental torment.
Sure it can.
Yeah.
Juanita, I've got a few stacked up here, but thank you very much, dear.
And I thank you for your time, and I'm going to listen to the rest of it.
All right. You have a wonderful evening now,
you
all right?
You too.
Bye now. And we'll just go right through the line as they have come in. If you're on hold, please stay that way. And, hey, David?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. I will be really short, probably about like 5 minutes so I can get to the other callers.
Okay.
I don't know how many you have, so I'll just say what I was going to say. I think Head On Radio, you guys need to start having prize markers for things, and I thought of a way where you could have those prizes without anyone having to pay for them, and here's the way. So you have like prize markers maybe at the 500 level or maybe every 100, I don't know. But I'm willing to donate a box of trading cards called the Psychedelic Republicans. It's unopened. And
Wow.
I think that is almost like putting the heat to the fire kind of thing. To create an interest more in people are contributing. And here's how it would work, I would think. You don't have to pay $500, people. That's so retarded. I hate when people do that. Maybe how you could do it is when someone reaches the 500 marker or they clear the 500, doesn't have to be 500, then they would get this sent to them.
Yeah, like you're the 1,000th shopper at this cash register today sort of thing.
Right,
at the grocery
right.
store.
And I encourage everyone, I don't want to hear excuses where people say, I don't got nothing. Yes, you do. You have something that's sitting there as a doorstop. I don't care, whatever. It's just sitting there, and you don't want it. So, hey, use it as a marker. That's what I say.
Wow, it's almost like building on the free cycle idea.
Yeah. So like I said, these trading cards, I can use that as a marker.
Mm-hmm.
I have another thing where maybe at 1,000 I can use something else. I also have access to all kinds of stuff that a lot of people may be interested and may want that I can get for a fraction of the price. So.
Oh wow.
I have lots of stuff that and lots of collectibles, whatever, just any type of things that we can use for markers. And I encourage people to do the same thing. There's something in your house. I'm saying this directly to people. There's something in your house, people, that is of value. Do not give me that crap where you say, I don't got nothing of value. No, you just look around, and I'm telling you, it's there. And you're not using it, so there you go.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea, David. That is a great idea.
And I have something for the 1,000 marker, too, or the 600 marker. I'm also willing to contribute my, I was going to use it for to increase in value, but I really don't care now. I have the Sly Stone remastered recordings from Legacy.
Oh,
I'll
wow.
throw that up as a prize, too. So you have two things right there, two different varied things, and that's what I want people to think about when I just gave two prizes. That's the way to keep it varied and keep it so it's something for everybody at every market.
That's a beautiful idea because it operates on a couple of different levels, David.
Right.
Because it is listeners who are making this go at the same time, exchanging things back and forth as an expression of mutual listener appreciation.
That's right.
That is an amazing idea.
Yes, and I encourage everyone to do that. And like I said, when someone hits, I'm putting it out there, when someone hits the 500 marker, then, I don't know what it is you're up to, but whatever it is you're up to, if someone hits the 500 marker, or we could hit, if someone wants to really put in their worth, and every 100 maybe, we have a different prize or something.
Mm-hmm.
I could kick in maybe like four or five. I don't know, maybe seven times I can kick in. Like I said, I have access to all kinds of stuff, but just stuff that a lot of people go, how the hell could you get that? You know, just all that kind of stuff. I get a World War II bayonet right next to me for, $20 or whatever. Just Probably we don't want to use it. That's probably going to get us on the Drudge Report right there.
Yeah.
Using weapons, weapons for contributional gifts or whatever. But yeah, I think PBS has it wrong. I hated that you donate 200. I always hated that BS.
Well, see, I've looked at the coffee cups and the mouse pads and yada 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 yada.
Yeah, those
and you always I get the idea, David, that people who contribute to this network and want this network to succeed, want to see us using the funds to keep the network on the air. And without fail, when you go in for these little premiums or gym cracks or whatever, you wind up spending more, it becomes sort of self-defeating, if you know what I mean.
I also have another thing I'm willing to contribute.
Okay.
I got an unopened Eric Clapton Crossroads box set.
Ooh.
We'll be throwing that one out there, too. So like I said, I want to encourage people right now. What I'm doing right now, just match what I'm giving, and it can be anything. Just diversify in terms of your ideas of what could be used as a gift. Any kind of anything that's inspirational, motivational, positive. What I just went through was like trading cards and music.
Yeah.
It can be a video. It can be anything.
Books.
It can be jewelry.
Yeah.
And I think this will kick up a lot of the. I have a feeling this will kick up a lot of donations because maybe somebody wants that particular thing and they want to keep trying for it.
Okay.
And like I said, you don't have to hit the exact number. It's just when you hit that marker, then whoever hit that marker, they get that prize.
Or if we've got a little stockpile, a choice among a group.
Right.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
I said, I have three things. Now, people, it's your turn to step up. However you want to do this, Bob, in what terms of where you want to put these markers, it's up to you. But like I said, I'm paying for postage. I'm paying for everything.
Wow. Okay. Cool, David. Well, thank you very much.
No problem. And I encourage everybody, and I hope everyone will step up and contribute.
Yeah, and take the idea, build on it, develop it.
Take the idea. Let it be
organic.
Build on it, evolve on it, and continue to discuss all throughout this week, and maybe during the front porch, people can add to that as well, and I'll come in and I'll chime in and tell you. What else I can contribute, or how else we can shape this, and just look at, you know, and maybe you know, I could look at a fundraising book. There's several on Amazon. There are ways to do it. There's a book called Fundraising for Dummies.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe that's a good place to
God
start.
Knows I qualify within the title, so
yeah. Yeah, I mean, but like I said, people, there's just so much that you can do personally with just, you know, when you just hand over money, that's good, and I like it, but, you know, just keep adding to something where you can develop to get a bridge to that money, to the radio. And if you just keep stoking the fires, I think you'll find it's a lot easier than you thought it was.
That's it's a gorgeous idea, David. It truly is. And
well,
you know, I'll look for emails to sort of build on it and
right
and let it grow into something really cool.
But like I said, I'm in 100%, and I can get so much stuff of value, it'll make your head spin.
Well, cool, David. Thank you very much.
All right.
Be talking to you.
All right. Later.
Bye now. David never stops thinking. The wheels go. And he comes up with some great stuff along the way. Going straight back to the phones in a second. Quick email to share with you from our pal Angie over at pbsblog.com, pbsblog.com. She says, I saw the program with Amy Goodman and Lou Dobbs, and I have a different take on it. I thought it was fabulous, and here's why. Finally, we saw people we know and love, for better or for worse, sitting face-to-face and having it out. That's what it's all about. That's what's missing from corporate broadcasting. All we hear from them is one monotone voice pounding out one monotone message. This was different. It was a Red Hot Chili Pepper. It broke through everyone's comfort zone and got their attention, and all involved did exactly what they should have done. They promoted their own beliefs. That it got heated is understandable. but no one started acting childish or hurling epithets or cheating. What we saw was honest, and personalities revealed themselves, and it was marvelous. More of that, please. I loved it, says Angie. Juan made the most important point that I was not that I wish was not so quickly brushed over. It is not the people coming here that are at fault, and Americans who resent them coming here are not at fault either. There is plenty to be said that is valid to consider on both sides, but there is fault, and it lies in one place, and that is with the Mexican government. It is their responsibility to ensure their people's health, security, access to education and employment, and all the rest. But they don't do it, and those people have no choice but to try to survive, and that means coming this way. Otherwise, I thought the Goodman-Dobbs debate was just a ticket, and we should all remember to love the person and reserve the hate, if any, for what they say and not for them. I love that. I love that last statement, Angie. I got a long, you know, it's not like we're personal buddies or had a falling out or anything. I just, you know, never have liked the pomposity of Lou Dobbs. And he's always struck me as being somewhat, well, he was shamelessly Republican from day one, and then that got on the, you know, is it Merle Haggard? That got on the fighting side of me. And, you know, with regard to the Mexican government, I tend to agree, but what government sold the Mexican government on the bill of goods that was NAFTA? Well, that was kind of us. Congress approved the Peru Free Trade Agreement today with the connivance of some several Democrats. That makes me sick because, again, we're strong-arming a smaller government and a smaller nation to basically put their own people at peril for what we perceive to be some sort of national interest that I can't figure out how it benefits any working Americans, because it doesn't. It just means that we will use and abuse Peruvians just like we use and abuse Mexicans, just like we use and abuse Salvadorans, Guatemalans, Hondurans, yada, 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 yada. And so, you know, I mean, that's my issue there. Gosh, I hope this caller is still with us.
Hey, Bob, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm okay. And, yeah, I had to get in on the comment with the Mexican government, and you hit the nail right on the head. You don't understand the strategic involvement in NAFTA. It's not about, you know, it's not about having companies develop on their own accord. It's about having an unlimited source of cheap labor and having workers pit against workers.
Well, sure. I don't. And to whose benefit? I mean, what American worker benefits from that? None that I've found.
None. And you know, if you really look at the situation, that's what accounts for a lot of social ills we have: the gang violence, the racism.
But I can bet you dollars to donuts, Kevin, that within no time at all there will be industrial headhunters in Peru offering $8 an hour jobs to people who want to come live in company housing, eat company food, and be paid company wages and work company hours with no right whatsoever to speak up about the conditions of their employment. I mean, I guarantee it, my friend.
Oh, yeah. And the reality is, you know, what the so-called middle class, you know, the college-educated middle class doesn't fail to realize, and this is one thing I've tried to explain to, you know, people that are close to me, if you know what I mean, is that when you screw the working man over or the working person over, you end up screwing yourself, because eventually, once the standards get lowered for the people who don't have the college degrees, the standards become lower for those who do.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, prime example, take doctors now. You know, 30, 40 years ago, a doctor was a very highly respected person in the community. Now a doctor is like a mechanic.
Well, there's that, and your ability to see a doctor has been compromised as well. And I'm not just talking about from the healthcare crisis. What you see, at least what we see here in rural America, Kevin, you go to the doctor's office, and this is no slur on people who have these degrees and this training, but you don't see a doctor anymore. You see a nurse practitioner, or you see a physician's assistant, and there are 5-degree programs springing up all over creation to degree people in these specialties.
Yeah.
Now, within the law of the state of West Virginia, that's all I can speak to. I don't know about other states. These people can write prescriptions.
Oh, yeah.
See patients.
A nurse practitioner in New York can write a prescription, but a nurse practitioner is a highly trained individual.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that they're not. But what it is within the scam that is American healthcare, what you get is somebody with immense training doing an incredibly difficult job that you're paying less than half, probably not even a third of what you're paying an MD.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the same thing with lawyers and paralegals. What's happening now is that you have these firms, which have probably one or two attorneys, and the rest of it is an army full of paralegals.
True enough, but by the same token, in that situation, Kevin, a paralegal cannot walk into court
and
represent a client. A paralegal can't question someone on the stand. A paralegal cannot sign their name to a pleading or a document. On the other hand, NPs and PAs can do everything that a doctor can do, just about.
That's scary.
Well, it is, not because of issues of competence, but because it's the ongoing business model of reducing services and maximizing billing.
Well, there was an area in industrial relations, and Cornell University, matter of fact, has a specialty in industrial organization, which they call de-skilling.
De-skilling?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of educating on this one, Kevin.
Okay. Now, you grew up in the coal mining region.
I grew up in Alabama, but...
Coal mining region.
Yeah.
Okay. Years ago, before it was industrialized, a coal mine was like a farm. Where you have a coal miner who owned that mountain and supplied coal, and it was usually a family business.
Well, it would start out that way, yeah.
Okay. And what ended up happening over the course of time is that, and he would really know that mine and know where to harvest the coal from top to bottom, in and out, so on and so forth. What happened over the year, as the money started coming in, the huge corporations started coming in, he'll say, okay, you no longer have to do the whole mine, and make it seem as if he's coming out ahead doing less work and getting money for it. But the reality was that it was de-skilling where, over a period of time, that he would, it would be like centralized labor where you only do one thing, do it well, instead of knowing how to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's the art of de-skilling. It's like they try to departmentalize labor.
Okay, yeah. Instead of having people who knew how to do a lot of things, you reduce individuals to knowing how to do, one thing.
Yeah. And therefore, we end up depending on one another. You lose a sense of independence. And this is what a lot of corporations do.
Look at these jobs that we talked about last night in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yeah.
It literally consists of picking up a DVD and putting it in a box.
Yeah.
Or taking that box and sliding the label into the plastic on the box.
Mm-hmm.
Or running the box through the shrink wrap machine. Utterly mindless. And we know from the early days of the Industrial Revolution in the United States, that kind of thing is incredibly destructive to a worker's well-being. And we've got a word for it now in modern medicine, people suffering from repetitive stress injuries. Carpal tunnel syndrome being a classic case in point. But you know what? These people coming from the Ukraine, coming from Nepal, coming from the Dominican Republic, from Jamaica, they have no idea of what the work structure is in America. And as a consequence of that, Kevin, they're not even going to... they're living literally at the sufferance of the company, and they will not dare file a workers' comp claim.
They cannot, because they'll be deported. Not that, you know, I don't know about other countries, but life in Jamaica, other than the crime, isn't that bad, because, you know, we don't have a repressive government or anything like that.
So where are they going to get these workers from? Is it the lure of 8 American dollars? I mean, does that look...
Yeah, because 8 American dollars is equivalent to about 500 Jamaican dollars.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think the U.S. dollar to Jamaican is like 70 to 1. So, and not that...
Of course, that doesn't obtain at the resorts or anything. No, those are, no.
No. Okay, but the spending power, like, you gotta...
But they don't have a clue that when they come here, they're never going to be able to accumulate any of those 8 American dollars.
Probably not. They don't. You know, like I said, this is for the poorest of the poor in Jamaica. This is not for the middle class who travel.
Yeah, from the folks from the shanty towns and so forth.
Yeah. Okay, and you have to look at it that way, that a lot of the U.S. dollar, especially in Latin America, still, and even though that's starting to change, thanks to Chavez and all that, it still carries a lot of weight. And you know, and they are highly impressed. If you say, okay, 8 American dollars, that is, again, you know, 500-700 Jamaican dollars, or 500-700 pesos, or whatever. And, okay, they may never be able to buy a car with that, but they can at least get the what is known locally as the staple stuff in bulk.
No, that
which goes a long way.
It's life changing if they can get it down there.
Yeah,
because you know if you listen to right wingers, they say, well, you know, these Mexicans, they're making all of this money, and then they're turning around and sending it via Western Union to their extended families in Mexico. A, what business is it of ours, what they do with their money?
And rightfully so, because you know how much, you know what, the United States has pillaged Mexico to the point of that we cut the country in half. So whatever the Mexicans could get, God bless them.
But, you know, secondly, I think that's largely a bit of a myth, Kevin, because it's predicated on a hellish existence, you know. 10 or 11, 12 people living in a two-bedroom hotel room, sleeping on floors, taking showers in shifts, that kind of thing.
Well, you see, the thing is, America has always thrived on cheap labor, you know, from slavery to Eastern Europeans coming here to Italians coming here, you know,
to white and African slavery at the beginnings of the colonization of North America. We just had a prettier word for it with regard to the white people. We called it indentured servitude. But you know what? They were slaves. They were owned human beings.
Exactly. And you could not, God help you if you left the plantation before that 7-year contract was up.
Yeah. So, I understand what you're saying completely. I don't know what the answer is. I'd like to sit here and say, look, when there's a Democrat in the White House, there will be a real, live, honest-to-God Department of Labor that's actually run by people for whom labor matters.
Well, I don't know about all that, because me personally, I look at, you know, Florida politics, the state I used to reside in, and as long as the industrial military complex has these senators in the back pocket and they could go from state to state, and this is why you have, you know, these conservative Democrats who, you know, will kowtow, because you know what? They're going to get a phone call from GE or McDonnell Douglas.
But we're going to a place, we're actually regressing to a place in American labor history, Kevin, that we don't want to go back to, because it was ugly and it was hateful, and where it was poor whites and poor blacks 100 years ago. Now it will be the poorest of the poor immigrants. And it's only significant changes and enforce significant changes to the law and enforcement of laws that currently exist will change it.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Jamaica, there's a term called a $10 millionaire. You ever heard that term?
No.
Okay, a $10 millionaire is someone who's, you know, and it goes from the old white Jamaican gentry, which were, you know, the British,
yeah,
the descendants of the British plantation owners, who were rich at one time because sugar, you know, sugar and rum was the oil of the 18th century.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, a $10 millionaire is someone who's descended from that and who, you know, still has a lot of prestige, still has a lot of prestige. And
got a lot of everything but money.
Exactly. And, you know, by the time independence came about, they found out the rug was pulled from underneath them. You know, too late.
Mm-hmm.
And they were caught in that time scale of, you know, the 17th, the 18th and 19th century.
Well, that's a neat phrase, and I'm going to hang on to it, a $10 millionaire.
And, you know, and I think that's what I think a lot of suburban, you know, white, so-called middle-class America is going through now. You know, look at what we're doing. All this has been done before with the Walmart and, you know, the housing, you know, living off of the equity of our houses.
Mm-hmm.
People fail to realize 100 years ago, you ever remember the company Woolworths?
Sure, sure.
That was a British company. That was the Walmart of the 19th century.
Well, it absolutely was. You're correct.
And that was all over the British Empire and a lot of parts of America, too. And that's where people used to get their cheap goods and stuff, and people used to charge away on that.
The more things change, the more they stay the same,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So none of this is new. And
no, it's the fact that we don't have any of those generations left who could look at us and say that none of this is new. The con is always rejuvenated and repackaged, Kevin. It depends on the ignorance of history of the people the con is being run on.
Yeah.
Whether it's Republican policies that, you know, never change but always, you know, Reaganomics and all that. So, you know, we went through that in the 1920s, but the people who lived through it are gone, and they can't look up and go, you know, we were there for the filming of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see this one all the way to the end. The Republican Party counts on people to be ignorant of the same old snake oil that they've been hustling since their very birth. Unfortunately, Kevin, we're out of time though.
Okay.
Thanks for the little lesson though. I really appreciate it.
Okay, no problem, Bob.
You take care now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Our good friend Kevin calling from Brooklyn. Wow. Feel like I've run a race. You guys have kept me busy. Thank you so very much for all of your participation tonight. And stick around for the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio program, namely Strictly Confidential with your host, Peter Godbold, who's also the IT consultant for The Horn. Coming up after that, The Horn Section. And I got a lot of leftovers, so we'll be plowing through some of those on The Horn Section with Peter and hopefully our good friend John Fox in Sydney, Australia. And hopefully John will have things up and running and be ready to go for All Foxed Up this evening. He had some tech problems last night. But at any rate, again, thank you all so much. And thanks not just to Peter and John, but to the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. What an amazing, amazing man he is. And thanks all of you who are helping to keep The Horn on the air. I know we got a tough month ahead of us. I hope that you recognize that and you can help out in whatever way that you can. Because the rubber's kind of against the road right now. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Bye.